Now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
Amen. You can have a seat.
Wow, what a privilege to be able to sing to the lover of our soul and to be able to address him in that way. I hope you know his love for you. I'm not going to say I hope you know how much he loves you, because I don't think we can know that. Not here on the earth. We can't know how much he loves us. Not fully, but we can definitely know his love for us, and we can appreciate that love, and we can express back to him that we love him in return. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. A joy to be able to gather and to sing and to pray, to fellowship, and now to look into the Word of God together. Some of you got a message this week. Some of you got a number of messages this week. Maybe you got it through Facebook Messenger, or maybe you received a message through WhatsApp or Instagram, or maybe you received a message through an email or a phone call, or someone who turned to you and shared a message with you. We are doing a study on Sunday mornings when I'm speaking that we're entitling Seeing Jesus in Judges. And as we've been looking at the book of Judges and considering the context of this book, what was going on in this nation, the nation of Israel, at the time that this book was written, that these things occurred, we find that it's very easy to see the need that they had for a messenger from God. We've looked at the cycle there in Judges. We find Israel forsaking God, doing evil in the eyes of God. We find God in his grace and in his mercy and his holiness and his righteousness, judging, disciplining his people. We find as a result they suffer. And then ultimately, finally, they cry to God, and God in his grace and his power again provides deliverance. Israel enjoys freedom, and then after a period of time, we find them again forsaking God. We've seen that the writer to the Judges, the Holy Spirit leads him to conclude the book with these words: in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone decided, hey, this is what's right for me. This is what I think is right. When I look at the situation, here's my conclusion. Here's what's right. And so everybody did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, as we find in our own culture today, the idea of absolutes was absolutely not appreciated, right? And we find that today. That's one absolute for sure. But we find that absolutes are looked down upon today. Everyone desires to do what is right in their own eyes. And we are tempted to do the same thing. And actually, we often, unfortunately, live in that way. Well, last Sunday morning, we began to seek to see Jesus in Judges through the story of Gideon. We find that in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. And I'll ask you to turn there to Judges chapter 6. And as we did last Sunday morning, we're going to be looking really at a small portion of the story. It's really the call of Gideon. And we find that beginning in verse 11 of chapter 6. But you notice in verse 1 of chapter 6, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And we saw last week just how bad it was for the nation of Israel during that period there were a time of poverty, a time of great oppression, a time of hopelessness. But we find that in that time, God intervenes. He steps into it in a literal way. And that's what we find in verse 11 there of chapter 6. We'll go back to that again. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree The angel of the Lord. And we began to look last week at the angel of the Lord. And I just want a quick review and a quick catch up for us. We find that this is not an angel, though the King James Version does have an angel, but the New King James and most other translations have the angel of the Lord. Now we're going to see that this isn't the only place that the angel of the Lord appears, but I want to bring out the point here. This is not an angel of the Lord. There are many angels who belong to the Lord, but this is the angel of the Lord. Now the word angel, we have the Hebrew word here and the Greek word on the screen, malach and agalos. Those are the respective Hebrew and Greek words. And both of those words, literally translated, mean messenger. Messenger. So we find that literally we're talking here about the messenger of the Lord. Now, we find in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 that when we think about angels, and most of the angels that we would think about and see in Scripture, they are what the writer to the Hebrews calls ministering spirits. They are spirit beings, but they have the ability to take on a form that is visible if they choose to do that. And often in the Scripture, we find them taking on that visible form in order to appear to someone, to give a message, to give a rebuke from God, or whatever it is that God is sending them to do. But most of the time, they are not visible. They are spirit beings, but they are still very active, whether or not we can see them. So these are the servants of God in heaven that he sends down oftentimes to earth to do his bidding. And again, as you read through the Scripture, you read about angels, you read about messengers through there. But the angel of the Lord is distinct from these other angels. We mentioned last time that the angel of the Lord speaks as God in the first person, not in every circumstance, but in many circumstances. In the Old Testament, when you read about the angel of the Lord, you will find him speaking as if he is God, not just speaking for God, as an angel would do. We also see that the angel of the Lord claims and displays attributes that only belong to God, that no human being, no angelic being could rightfully claim for himself. We also see that the angel of the Lord accepts being addressed as Lord. When the one to whom he comes to give a message responds back to him as Lord, he doesn't say no, as we find John does in the book of Revelation, when someone comes to him and tries to bow before him. Don't do that. And whereas a regular angel, we might call them, would not accept being addressed as deity. And we find also that the angel of the Lord exercises divine authority. That's just some of the things that we see that set the angel of the Lord apart from these other angels, these other ministering spirits, these other messengers. Again, here's some references where we mentioned last week that we can find the angel of the Lord appearing to Hagar, to Abraham, to Moses, to Balaam, to David. And even here in the book of Judges, we have four different references to the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, what's the conclusion? He is the Lord. The angel of the Lord is not just a messenger sent from God, but a messenger sent from God as God. He is the Lord. He is God. Now, I confess that the Trinity is difficult to comprehend. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, a triunity, is difficult to comprehend. But it's also, get this, it's also difficult to deny. If you look into the Word of God and you read through the Word of God, you must come to the conclusion, I would suggest, or it's very difficult to deny the conclusion that God is a triunity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is the only member of the Godhead who is visible. An angel is a messenger. God the Son is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And we pause before we read, and the Word was God. And in John 1:14, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, He is the messenger of the Lord. He is the angel of the Lord. That is the deduction that we find from going to the Word of God, reading and studying the Word of God, and we could spend a lot of time just on the angel of the Lord. But that will only get us started. Because what we were looking at last week were the interactions of the angel of the Lord with Gideon. Let's read this passage together, if we could. And then we're going to continue to look at these interactions that Gideon is having with the angel, or rather that the angel is having with Gideon, and how that reflects the interactions of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, His interactions with us. Verse 11, Judges 6. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. The angel of the Lord. The Lord Jesus. He interacted with Gideon, and today He desires to interact with you. And if you know Him personally through faith, not of works, not because of what a good person you are, how much you've done, but rather because you have recognized that you, like me, we're all sinners and we're separated from God by our sin. But the Lord Jesus, the one that we're considering this morning, the one that we're looking for in Judges, the one that we should be looking for from Genesis to Revelation, He is what the Scriptures are about. He died for our sins, took our sins upon Himself, bore them in His own body there on the cross of Calvary, and was brought back to life. And He's gone back to heaven, and He says, "If you will receive Me as your Savior, if you will turn from yourself, And you will turn from whatever is keeping you from me, and you will just receive me as your Savior from your sin. He said, I will save you, and I will forgive you, and I will make you a new creation, and I will bring you into a relationship with me, and I will interact personally with you. And then when you read the Scripture, you can hear God speaking to you personally. We find the angel of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. We found him last week there in verse 11, and we saw him as with you in your struggles. And the Lord Jesus is with you in your struggles. Secondly, we found in his interactions with you, he sees you through the eyes of omniscience. Oh, that's why he could call Gideon a mighty man of valor, rather than what Gideon saw himself as. Well, let's continue. And the third thing we're going to see in this, we're going to hoping to look at numbers 3 through 5 here today in these interactions of the Lord Jesus with us. Here's the third interaction. He commissions you for humanly impossible tasks. He commissions you for humanly impossible tasks. Consider Gideon's mission impossible. Verse 14, you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Verse 16, you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Not that you're going to do it as one man yourself. No, but it's going to be like they were one man. You're going to be able to defeat them. And you are going to defeat them. Now, Gideon heard this message, and his first thought was, this is an impossible mission. This can't occur. Midian and his allies had a death grip on Israel for the past 7 years. Chapter 7 here in Judges, if you want to glance over there, you can, at verse 12. Now, the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sands by the seashore in multitude. That's the force that the Lord Jesus was telling Gideon that he was going to defeat as if it were one person. Gideon questioned that, but the angel, the Lord Jesus, the messenger of God, the messenger who is God, responded there in verse 14. Look at what he said. Then the Lord turned to him and said, notice that first word, go. Don't forget that word, all right? Go. Go. All right, and notice also, at the end of the verse, notice that last phrase. It's a question. Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? Gideon, you have a commission. I'm telling you to go. Gideon, I have a question for you. Have I not sent you? Have you been commissioned, Gideon? Yes. Well, then are you going to go? Are you going to follow through on the commission that you have received? Now, Gideon was to go in faith. Yes, the Lord Jesus was telling him to go in this might of his, but Gideon knew he was weak. Gideon knew he was at a great disadvantage. Gideon knew he was facing an impossible task. So if he went, he would have to go in faith. He would have to go believing that God is who he says he is and that God will do what he says he will do. He would have to go in faith, trusting God to enable him to do what he could not do, trusting God to supply him with what he did not have. He had to look to God in faith for grace, what he did not deserve. What he could not earn, which there was no way he could go to the gym and work out enough that he could handle all these Midianites. He didn't have time to go to West Point and get all the strategic planning that he would need, even if there had been a West Point at that time. Gideon struggled. We got to be honest about it. Gideon struggled He doubted, he questioned. We read his story, and I encourage you to do that. We're not covering the whole story. I encourage you to do that if you don't know it already, or go back and be reminded. Gideon, he came back and he questioned God, and he confessed his doubt. He confessed his fear. He confessed his questions. But he did go. He did go. Read the rest of the story. Gideon did go. Well, that brings us to our mission, impossible. And we could look throughout the Scriptures, particularly the New Testament, and we could find a lot of commissions for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But I'll just draw your attention to one, Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. Maybe you want to turn there real quickly. Why don't we do that if you'd like? You don't have to, but Matthew chapter 28. And it's the very end of the gospel according to Matthew. And he has some very important words for us here. He was talking to the disciples, his followers at that time. But it was not only meant for them, it was meant for those of us who know the Lord Jesus as well. Notice there in verse 19. Notice the first word. Go. You ever heard that before? That's what Gideon heard, right? What was the word he heard? Go. Go. What does the Lord Jesus say here? This messenger of God, this messenger who is God. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go. Go, therefore. What is verse 18? He's referring back. So, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. So we've been commissioned. I don't know about you, but I read this commission, and if I take this seriously, it appears to me to be what I would call a humanly impossible task. Go and make disciples of all the nations. I mean, the whole world. Now, here are these men, and maybe some women too, that were there that day as he ascended back to Bethany. I don't know who all was there. The disciples were. And as he gathered them and gave them this commission, what did they think? We don't even know what the whole world is. We don't even know what all the nations are. How are we going to do that? We're weak. How are we going to do that? We don't have the wisdom. How are we going to do that? This is humanly impossible, but the Lord Jesus told them to go and to make disciples of all the nations. In Mark 16, 15, we have it recorded with these words, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That seems like a humanly impossible task to me. It's overwhelming. You know what I want to tell you I think is really overwhelming? Here's what's really overwhelming. Go next door and tell your neighbor. Make a disciple of your neighbor. Baptize your neighbor. Teach your neighbor, the person that lives next door, the person that works next door beside you, the person that sits beside you in class, the person that you pass by when you're out exercising in the park. It's everyone, but it's that one person. You know, before I get overwhelmed with the whole world, I need to be overwhelmed with my next door neighbors, with the people that live across the street. The Lord Jesus has told me to go. Lord, you don't know. Well, Lord, you do know. But Lord, you must be forgetting. I'm weak. I'm sorry, but I'm not an evangelist, you know. I mean, I have a hard time like really talking to people and bringing up spiritual conversations. How do you expect me to tell that person at work that you died on the cross for them and rose again. How am I supposed to get to that point? The Lord Jesus says, go. Go. And preach the gospel to every creature, not only next door, but start right next door. We read in Acts chapter 1, he said, start in Jerusalem, that's where you are, and then kind of reach out into Judea, and then go on to Samaria, and then ultimately to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're all responsible only if we know the Lord Jesus as Savior. If you're not on your way to heaven, if you've not been forgiven of your sins, then you're off the hook for this one. But you're on the hook for all your sins, so that's a lot worse. On your way to be separated from God forever. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He's brought us into relationship with God through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Have I not sent you? I hear the Lord Jesus saying that to me this morning. And I'll be honest with you. It's a lot easier for me to stand up here and tell you this than to tell my next door neighbor. I'll be honest with you. But the Lord Jesus says to me, Mark, have I not sent you? Have I not sent you?
Go.
Yes, it seems impossible, but the Lord Jesus has commissioned us. Are we willing to move forward with a task that we know that we can't in ourselves accomplish, but we know He can accomplish? Are we willing to step out? Are we willing to go deeper into the Word of God? Are we willing to go to someone and say, will you help me learn how to share the gospel? I just want to be able to share a simple gospel. Will you talk to me about how I can bring up the Lord Jesus in conversations? You know, there are people that are really good at that. There are people that have been given the gift of evangelism. And we read in Ephesians chapter 4 that they don't have that gift not only for them to share the gospel, but for them to teach those of us who don't have the gospel. But you know, with those words comes a life. Is my life different? When I'm sent out to go, it's not only to go and to speak, it's to go and to live, to display the reality of what I'm saying. Does my life evidence a difference? We need to hurry along here. The Lord Jesus, He's with you in your struggles. He sees you through the eyes of omniscience. He commissions you for humanly impossible tasks. Number four, He waits patiently to accept your offering. He waits patiently to accept your offering. And we read about this starting in verse 17, and we read that already. And this is where Gideon says to the angel of the Lord, it's like he's starting to kind of put this thing together. I'm thinking this may not just be a traveler who's coming down the road. Maybe this isn't like just a prophet or even an angel. This may be the angel of the Lord. He goes to prepare a sacrifice. And notice what he says there. If I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. Gideon is requesting the patience of the angel of the Lord. And we see that the angel of the Lord Jesus, is willing to wait for Gideon. Verse 18. The end of that verse, think about these words for a minute. This is God the Son speaking to a human being. Listen to His words. I will wait until you come back. Does that strike you as an amazing display of humility? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the President of the United States? You said, wait, I want to do something. This man's in a hurry, you know? Hey, if you don't have it ready now, then I got a line of people out here. Sorry, I'm not waiting for you. Some of you are in positions of authority in your job or in your community. And sometimes you get impatient. I'm not waiting. And if you don't come prepared, then hey, it's too late. The Lord Jesus, the God of the universe, says, I will wait until you come back. I really appreciate that. So we see that Gideon goes, he prepares that offering, he brings it, he puts it where the angel of the Lord tells him to put it, on the rock. And then the angel of the Lord, again, he's in human form, he looks like a person. He's got a staff in his hand like a lot of travelers would have had in that day, and he reaches it out and touches the offering, and fire comes out of the rock and consumes the sacrifice. Consumes the sacrifice as a display of the power of who he is, but also as a sign of his acceptance of the sacrifice. It's a really an interesting study to go back and read about the times when fire came out, when there was no fire, and fire came out and consumed a sacrifice. Leviticus 9 and verse 24, Israel is gathering at the tent of meeting. This is before the tabernacle was actually constructed. And they were there, and God had told Moses how he wanted the priesthood set up. And so they were implementing that. And we read there that fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, remember the prophets of Baal, they had their altar and they were calling on their false god. They thought they said he was a real god. Calling on their false god to bring down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. Never happened. They cut themselves, they danced, they sang, they took all day. Didn't work. Elijah, he calls out unto the true God. And the true God, we read that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water in the trench around it. 1 Chronicles 21, David builds an altar to the Lord, and the Lord answers him from heaven by fire on the altar, a burnt offering. 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon, David's son, as they are dedicating the temple to God, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The Lord Jesus was willing to wait for Gideon to bring his sacrifice. I would suggest that oftentimes we are requesting patience. You know, sometimes on Wednesday nights when we have our prayer meeting, someone will share, almost every Wednesday night, someone will share an unspoken request. That means a request that they don't feel like they can publicly speak, you know, so that everybody can hear it, but they want us to pray about it. Well, I think this is a different kind of unspoken request. I don't think we're saying it with our lips, but what we're doing with our lives, we are saying, God, will you wait on me? Lord, will you wait? Because I'm not quite ready to do this. I know what you're at, and I really want to offer these things up to you. Well, I think about the offerings that we're to present to God. Romans 12, 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. The angel of the Lord accepted Gideon's sacrifice. He burned it up with fire from himself. 1 Peter 2, 5. We're to, as a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices. I suggest they're the sacrifice of worship, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 18. Paul said he had received the financial gifts from the Philippians. He said it's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, where we're called to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name and doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is well-pleased. He accepts our sacrifice when we bring them through Jesus Christ, when we give through Jesus Christ, when we pray through Jesus Christ, when we share through Jesus Christ, when we worship through Jesus Christ. When we go through the Lord Jesus, He accepts it. But oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we are slow. I am slow to have my worship prepared, to have my gift prepared, to reach out to others who are in need, and to be ready. I'm often slow to praise God. Are you? Are you slow? How thankful we are that our God, our Savior, even though oftentimes our slowness is because of doubt and unbelief or selfishness or laziness or busyness or forgetfulness or being distracted, the Lord Jesus is willing to wait for us. Oh, I love to see Him interact with His disciples in the Gospels because He is so patient. He puts up with so much. We get so frustrated with each other so quickly. The Lord Jesus, He endured patiently with long-suffering His disciples, their unbelief, their impatience with others, their denial, their betrayal, their slowness to learn, in bringing their own sacrifices. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. We should pray it for ourselves. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Thank you for being patient with me, Lord Jesus. Am I appreciative of His patience? Am I abusing His patience? Am I taking advantage of the fact that He is patient, that He does wait for me to bring my offering, or rather than to be ready and to have that always? Will we allow the patience of the Lord to spur us on to quicker obedience instead of delaying? I ask myself that. I ask you that. I ask us that. He waits patiently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we not abuse His patience. May we be prepared. May we be ready. May we recognize that we should be offering ourselves continually, as we read in Hebrews 13, to God. We have one final one. We need to hurry up with just a couple of minutes to finish this last one. The Lord Jesus, He ministers peace to you from out of sight. He ministers peace to you from out of sight. We find at the end of verse 21 that the angel of the Lord departed out of Gideon's sight. He left his sight. He realized, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, and he assumed he was going to die. God had said, it's recorded in Exodus 33:20, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. This was some serious anxiety. And we find others in the Bible responding the same way when they realize they've seen the angel of the Lord. But we find the angel of the Lord, and how does he respond to Gideon? Again, with such grace, in such patience, in such mercy. And what does he say in verse 23? Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And so Gideon, he builds an altar there and he names it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Exactly what Gideon needed to hear. Exactly what Gideon needed to know. We need peace, don't we? The Lord Jesus, we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, he spoke to His disciples and then he departed out of their sight, and we have never seen Him with our eyes. We've never laid eyes on the Lord Jesus. But as Peter says in 1 Peter 1, though we don't see Him, we love Him. We love Him. But we need His peace. John 14 and John 16, the Lord Jesus was telling His disciples, I'm leaving the world, I'm going away, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, but peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And now those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we have confidence from Romans 5:1 that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:3, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus provides for us peace and all we need. And my encouragement to me and to you now is to acknowledge our need of peace and embrace the peace that the Prince of Peace is offering. He offered that peace to Gideon. Gideon could have stayed in his place of anxiety. He could have thought, I'm still going to die. I'm probably going to die tomorrow. No, he took the Lord at His word. He put faith in the Lord Jesus, the messenger of God. He's come with a messenger for us. He's come as a messenger for us, rather. He's come with a message. Do you see yourself in Gideon? I wish I didn't see myself so much in Gideon, but I do. Do you see Jesus in the angel of the Lord? I just want to encourage you. We're going to close in a short word of prayer, and David's going to play just a quick verse for us as we meditate. What specific truth will you seek to apply to your life today and this week? Just choose one thing. Have one thing in mind. And then I just want to ask you to cry out to God in this moment of silence, particularly as David plays. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for letting us see Him in Judges. Judges chapter 6. Father, thank you for showing us the Lord Jesus all through the Scripture. Father, thank you for who He is. Thank you for His message to us, His message of peace, His message of assurance, His message of hope, His message of encouragement, His message of salvation, His message of forgiveness, His message of meaning. Father, may we cry out to You now in this moment of quietness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.